Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. It is a hard reality. At this stage of the pandemic, we are still seeing record COVID numbers in Maine. Today, we're going to talk to hospital leaders about how bad it is in the hospitals, what is happening with vaccinations, and what lies ahead. We're talking again with Dr. Dora Mills, who is Chief Health Improvement Officer at Maine Health, and Dr. James Jarvis, Senior Physician Executive and System Incident Command at Northern Light Health. We welcome your questions and comments for both of these hospital leaders. Send an email, a brief email, please, to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page or to Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. A very important note today, that is a different number than for our 60th anniversary pledge drive. Again, the phone number to call into Maine Calling, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Dr. Jarvis, Dr. Mills, wish we were having this conversation with better news, but you know, a couple times this past week, we've heard the news that your hospital systems are seeing record hospitalizations. And then today, the news that the biggest one-day surge in COVID cases since the beginning of the pandemic, more than 1,000 new cases since yesterday. Dr. Jarvis, what are you hearing from the front lines? What are you hearing from the nurses, the doctors, all the folks who are caring for patients at the Northern Light healthcare facilities?
Hale, thanks for having us on again. You know, we are now talking about the same kind of things that we talked about last winter and at the end of the summer, where we were seeing, you know, record high numbers of patients who are sick and need to be in our hospitals. But it seems to be, at least from our health system, spread out across a larger region than what we were talking about before. If you remember, back last January, Eastern Maine Medical Center set a record high with 55 individuals who were positive for COVID. Over the summer, they actually got up to 60. But right now, Eastern Maine Medical Center has 33 patients who are positive for COVID-19. However, the majority of them are in our intensive care unit, and 7 of those patients are on ventilators. But what we're seeing is a spread of our smaller hospitals now taking care of more COVID-positive patients than they were able to in the past. Some of that's good news, means that people can be cared for closer to home, and that we have treatments now that are better off for patients, and so we can keep them from needing that intensive care. But the problem is looking at our entire state, with all of these beds being taken up with people who are positive for COVID-19, we are limited in what we can take care of for the other things that we care for on a regular basis.
Dr. Mills, what about for Maine Health?
Yes, very similar as what Jim has just mentioned. Across our hospitals in Maine, we have 88 patients with COVID who are in our hospitals. But like what Jim just mentioned, close to half of those are at Maine Medical Center, but the others are spread out across our other hospitals, including a number of, you know, rural hospitals. In fact, I'm looking through the list of hospitals and the numbers of patients in each, and we've got, I think, patients with COVID who were sick with COVID in every single one of our hospitals. We'd had days where we'd had some of our rural hospitals, you know, have over half of the patients in them are sick with COVID. So this is really putting a huge strain. I've rounded the last couple mornings at Maine Medical Center, and, you know, I mean, my hat is off to all our healthcare workers. They are doing an amazing job. But, you know, they pull me aside and say, please tell everybody, please, to get vaccinated, mask, distance and ventilate when you can, get tested. They're just very worried because it is only, you know, it's only November 17th. So we're heading into colder weather, gatherings from the holidays. And we still have, you know, we are hitting records every day practically of people who are hospitalized. And it just, we're worried going into the winter season and the holiday season, especially generating more cases. And I should just mention that with the spreading out, what we're seeing is a much bigger proportion of our patients are from rural Maine, particularly those counties that are under vaccinated. So Somerset, West Franklin, Oxford, counties, for instance, in Western Maine, those have our lowest vaccination rates. Their vaccination rates for the whole population run about 60-61% compared to Cumberland County. With Cumberland County, the vaccination rate for the whole population is 81%. That's a big difference, 61-81%. And the difference you can see in the data in that we have very few people from Cumberland County who are hospitalized, and even the people who are positive, who are outpatients, who are at home with COVID, there are many fewer of them from Cumberland County, where the vaccine rates are very high, compared to rural Maine, where the vaccination rates are very low.
Dr. Jarvis, we had Dr. Shaw on the program just a couple weeks ago, and he unfortunately said he did expect this to happen. He didn't believe the numbers were going to improve. Unfortunately, what he said he expected to happen does appear to be the case. And I'm going to try to put this as best I can into layman's language. How he explained what Dr. Mills just said is that not only are people in many of Maine's rural counties, less vaccinated, have lower vaccination rates than places like Cumberland County, but a year ago, they didn't have a surge of COVID cases, so there isn't even sort of an inkling, and these are not Dr. Shaw's words, these are mine, of herd immunity, in places like Florida, you may have more of a resistance already built up in the population. Is this what you're, am I explaining this right, Dr. Jarvis, that these counties that are not well vaccinated are also especially vulnerable to something like the Delta variant?
Yeah, and I think that's a great explanation, actually. And so, you know, again, if we start looking at what the pandemic was like initially, so almost 2 years ago, it was hitting more urban areas and not rural areas. But that population then, with their high infection rate and then their very quick adoption of vaccinations, means there's a larger percentage of the population who has antibodies or immunity towards the vaccine. Now, we know that immunity is not lifelong, so we still say that people who have been infected still need to get vaccinated. In our rural communities, they didn't see that same surge in the beginning. And with their lower vaccination rates, that means there are fewer people that have any kind of antibodies or immunity against the virus. And so therefore, they're more susceptible from a community standpoint. And that's really what we're seeing now. And that's not just in Maine, that's really across the country. And you bring up Florida, which is a good example. Texas is another one. They had huge numbers of people who had COVID, and their percent positivity rate was very, very high for the longest time. And now those are two of the lowest in the country. They still have a large number simply because there's a large population there, but their overall percentage is lower. And that's because a lot of people had already been infected, and they've tried to push vaccines as hard as they can. Maine has always led the way in vaccination rates, but we still need to do better in order to reach that goal of herd immunity or community immunity, where enough of us have some kind of immunity against the virus so that we don't continue to spread it over and over and over again.
Let me talk about a few other things that have been in the news. Dr. Mills, I'll start with you. November 1st was sort of the hard deadline for healthcare workers to be vaccinated. We saw a flurry of healthcare workers get vaccinated during the month of October. We also saw a handful choose not to get vaccinated and leave their jobs. What has the ripple effect been like in the facilities, the hospitals, and other care facilities that are affiliated with Maine Health? What has November been like?
It's been very, very good. We had about 2% of our workers who chose not to be vaccinated. Either they were terminated or they left employment before the mandate went into full effect. So that was about 2%. But we are now 100% fully vaccinated, 99.7%. So that rounds up to 100% fully vaccinated. And when I do rounds at our hospitals, what I hear all the time from people, nurses and others who pull me aside, is just say, "We are so relieved. It's nice to know that our colleagues whom we're working with side by side day after day are fully vaccinated. They're not triggering outbreaks amongst patients. They're not triggering outbreaks amongst healthcare workers." And I know some people are sitting home and saying, "Okay, but you can still contract COVID even if you're fully vaccinated." Yes, you can still contract COVID if you're fully vaccinated, but you're much, much less likely to, and you're much less likely to transmit it as well. Just using Maine data since May, when the Delta variant started coming in June, so just using the Maine-based data, about 1 in 100 Mainers who are fully vaccinated have contracted COVID since May. But 1 in 10 who are unvaccinated have contracted COVID since May. So those are very big odds, you know, against you if you're unvaccinated. So a lot of our healthcare workers have literally come up to me and pulled me aside. We are just so relieved now that we're all vaccinated. We don't have to worry nearly as much, even though they're still masking and taking precautions. But it just kind of relieves the pressure that much, a little bit.
Dr. Jarvis, what about at Northern Light Health?
So Northern Light Health has similar numbers. We're a little bit shy of 2% of our workforce left the workforce because of either they resigned or needed to be terminated due to not being compliant with the ruling. But now 100% of our work staff are either compliant by being vaccinated or have medical exemptions. The number of medical exemptions are few and far between. And same kind of sentiment and feeling. You know, of course, all of us are saddened by the loss of any of our colleagues for whatever that reason might be. We know that across the state of Maine and across the country in general, that the workforce for healthcare has not been where we need it to be. And we continue to struggle with that, whether we're talking about the mandate or not. As Dora said, you know, I had many colleagues who would stop me in the hallway before and said, how come we're not requiring vaccination of all of our employees and providers? You know, isn't that the right thing to do to protect ourselves and protect our patients? And now the sentiment really is that somewhat of a relief knowing that the individuals that are around you are vaccinated, and therefore we're not going to have the issue that we've seen, you know, unfortunately play out over and over again across the state of Maine, where an employee or a provider comes in contact with the virus, gets infected out in the community, but then brings that into our workplace and causes outbreaks to occur. And we don't want to see that happen. We want to make sure that we are having a good, safe environment. And even though we took all of those precautions with personal protective equipment, you know, we know that nothing is 100%, and therefore we need to take as many of the avenues that we can to help mitigate the spread of the virus. Personal protective equipment is one way of doing that. Good hand hygiene is another. But vaccination is still the mainstay of how we can prevent spread, not only in our workplaces, but around our communities as well. We see this playing out again as we look at our schools and how many schools right now have outbreaks, some schools needing to close, lots of students needing to be sent home on quarantine, and vaccination efforts will help prevent that from happening.
Dr. Millicent, the other big development in the last few weeks, of course, is that children age 5 to 11 can now be vaccinated. I know when Dr. Shaw was on this program, that news was really very new, less than 2 weeks old, and a lot of areas in the state just trying to gear up and get vaccination clinics in place, either in the schools or in the nearby hospitals, in doctor's offices. Where are we, as far as you know, where are we today? Are we able to handle more children? Are more children, especially in rural areas, able to have access to vaccinations?
Yes, great question. So, yes, we've been vaccinating, as I know Northern Light Health is, and many hospitals and federally qualified health centers, community health centers, and others, and pharmacies, the kiddos who are ages 5 to 11. And we're very excited. We have vaccinated almost 3,000 children at Maine Health over the last, 10 day, almost 2 weeks, I guess, now. And we are primarily focused on administering vaccine in schools. We have also held some public clinics in all of our communities, but we've also, and we have vaccines available at our practices, but we didn't want to overrun our practices who are quite busy. So we also wanted to make sure that all children in the community have access to the vaccine. So going to schools is really the the most equitable way to assure that. We are pulling staff from everywhere. I myself have vaccinated in several schools the last week and have several more that I'm doing. It's been actually the best part of my week. It's been a lot of fun. We've had kids as young as 5 at school. They do great without their parents actually there. They step up to the plate, and the teachers and schools and our healthcare providers have made a very joyous occasion out of all of this. So that's been great. And we are seeing very high rates, actually, as a result. So we know, for instance, our kids 5 to 11 in Maine, just over 14,000 have been had a first dose in the last since it was available in the last 2 weeks. So that is great. And I understand that that is about 15% of the population of 5 to 11-year-olds have had a dose of the COVID vaccine, and that is actually the highest in the country. So that seems like a very exciting success. I will say we are seeing that urban-rural disparity. I've been mostly in some schools in Greater Portland, and the uptake has been very high in those elementary schools. In fact, a couple of school nurses have told me that, you know, they believe between the school-based vaccine clinic and kids getting it elsewhere through pharmacies and doctor's offices and public clinics, that they think that they'll reach almost 100%, if not 100% of the kids being vaccinated. By contrast, our hospitals who are putting on vaccine clinics in rural Maine are reporting to me that the uptake is much, much lower, and they've even, you know, had some hostility from some of the parents and some other kids who aren't getting vaccinated, just kind of yelling things at them. And like, so it's been a really just a very sad very sad to see that, because of the fact that we see so many people disproportionately hospitalized and with high case rates from rural Maine, where the vaccination rates are lower. And as Jim mentioned earlier, and Dr. Shah another time as well, that, you know, they not only didn't have as much experience with COVID early on, but the vaccination rates are so much lower. So this makes me very sad, but it's also exciting to be in schools where the kids are very, very excited about it and getting vaccinated. And haven't seen any kid even cry yet. They know that this is their ticket to putting this pandemic in the rearview mirror, and the excitement on their faces has just been tremendous.
We do need to go to a break. You're listening to Maine Calling with Dr. James Jarvis and Dr. Dora Mills. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Eastern Basements, a division of Maine-owned Eastern Mold Remediation, offering basement waterproofing solutions, easternbasements.com, and by A Family for Me, a spurring program committed to raising awareness of the need for foster and adoptive parents. Learn more at afamilyformemaine.org.
This is Maine Public Radio, and welcome. I'm Scott Marshallton, Vice President here at Maine Public, with Luke Merkel, our underwriting account representative, and we are here to ask, frankly, for your support. It's our 60th anniversary membership drive, and we're asking folks to call and share your support with Maine Public now at 1-800-866-1475. And as I listen to Dr. Dora Mills, former colleague of mine at another nonprofit we worked with together, it is real time, these things that are going. It's in real time that she's sharing information with our listeners, with us here today. How critically important is that? And it's your support that makes that happen. Luke, it's amazing to be listening to Jen and Maine Calling, and to have guests like Dr. Mills and others on there. And really, it's how we're getting our real-time information each and every day as it regards to COVID.
It really is, Scott. And, you know, this COVID situation is ever-changing, and Maine Public Radio has been a constant resource for me and my family as we make decisions about, you know, how to deal with things like daycare or just how we go about in the world. And we wouldn't really know what to do. We wouldn't have that clear, essential information if it weren't for Maine Calling. So again, to donate to this important program and this important service, call now 1-800-866-1475. 1475. You know, we're celebrating 60 years as an organization, and we really want to keep doing this for 60 years and beyond. And the way that we're going to be able to do that is by your donations, your support as a donor, as an Evergreen friend. And the way to do that is, I'm going to repeat the number because it's so important, is to call now 1-800-866-1475.
Or you can go online at mainpublic.org. Maybe you're a parent like Luke and I are, and we very much need and want and hope to be kept up to date with all of these things that are going on within the school systems, within COVID, within vaccinations. You turn to Maine Public, so do we. So now is the time, your opportunity to call 1-800-866-1475 or go online at mainpublic.org, as Luke said. Join us for our 60th anniversary membership drive. Become a member now. And Luke, we've got one of our nonprofit partners, and I know as an underwriting rep, you work with both corporate and nonprofit folks who understand the value of supporting Maine Public, and it's the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, MOFGA. We've partnered with them for many, many, many years, and had done a Common Ground Fair when we could safely do that. Well, they've recently opened a storefront in Freeport. You can go online at MOFGA's website to learn more information, but there's no supply chain issues here in Maine as it relates to organic food and produce and such, and they're selling their wares throughout the holiday season. So for more info, go there. But we've got $50 gift certificates available. If you call now with your support, you'll be put into a raffle of sorts, and we'll be choosing some winners over the course of this pledge drive. So call now at 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, Scott, MOFGA is a really important partner with us. And, you know, as a nonprofit, independent media organization ourselves, you know, we really do kind of have really strong relationships with other nonprofits because, you know, really at the end of the day, the people who support Maine Public Radio are very philanthropic, and they love supporting other important causes. And the way for you to either increase your support of Maine Public Radio and get in that drawing for MOFGA for that, getting those gift cards, is by calling 1-800-866-1475 or by going online to Maine Public Radio. Thank you so much.
And you know, we've got also, as we think about Maine Public Radio, and this is our 60th year, we think about a community. Maine Public is a community. We are of our community and by our community. So it's your support of the things that we do, not only as an organization as Maine Public, and not only the things that we're reporting on, whether it's news or other content areas, but it's also what we bring and who we partner with within the community. Luke, we were talking about MOFGA. There are so many other organizations out there that we partner with. We are here for Maine. We're here to make Maine the state, the beautiful state which we choose to live in. We want to make it even better than it is today. And it's through our partnerships, and it's through donor support. It's through your calling right now, 1-800-866-1475, valuing Maine Public as a communer, as a community resource. Share your support today. 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, and the thing about becoming a donor or becoming an Evergreen friend, as we like to say, is, oh, those Evergreen friends are so important, because we know as an organization that we can count on those donors' support month in and month out, so that we're able to make big decisions on how we can keep, you know, providing more content, more services, you know, things like the climate change deep dive, the climate driven, you know, those types of really long-term projects wouldn't it be possible if it weren't for our Evergreen friends. So please either consider becoming an Evergreen friend today, or maybe increasing your Evergreen donation by an increment of maybe $2 a month or $5 a month. You know, any little bit helps. So please consider that now. And when you're ready, call 1-800-866-1475.
Luke, I want to follow up on the climate change deep dive. Fantastic point. And Last news deep dive on climate change was in York, taking a look at York County, some of the issues that are going on there. This is a 16 county effort that we're going to do over the course of the year. So very, very exciting project for us. Very important project for Maine. Climate change touches everyone, everything, every economy here in Maine. And Maine Public and our news team is doing some important work. Next county we'll be focusing on, I think it's going to be coming around December, is going to be in Oxford County, where I grew up. So it's your support that makes those things happen at 1-800-866-1475.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking with Dr. James Jarvis and Dr. Dora Mills from Northern Light Healthcare and Maine Health, two leading hospital leaders. And we're talking, of course, about the pandemic. Someday, hopefully, we will not be. The phone number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Dr. Mills, you have a very important announcement to tell us about. Tell us right now what people in Maine need to know about booster vaccinations.
Well, yes. Well, Jim Jarvis and I both just received a health alert from Maine CDC telling us that based on the sustained community, high rates of community transmission of COVID-19 in Maine, that Maine CDC has concluded that all individuals are at high risk for COVID exposure, and therefore, effective immediately, all Mainers ages 18 years or older who received the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine are eligible for a booster dose at least 6 months after the second dose of their primary series, and those who received the single dose J&J vaccine remain eligible for a booster at least 2 months after their initial dose. Now, we have heard that the FDA is likely to expand the population for to be 18 and older for Pfizer boosters, but what Maine CDC is saying that no matter which of the vaccines you got, if you're 18 or older and you've been at least 6 months or more since your second dose with Pfizer or Moderna, or 2 months or more from the J&J vaccine, then you are eligible for the booster dose. So this is very good news. I think it comes off the heels of looking at data from other countries, including Israel, where they showed a dramatic reduction in hospitalizations and severe disease as people got booster doses. Israel started boosting people back in July. So, everybody in Israel is eligible for boosters now, and they've seen a dramatic reduction in hospitalizations by age group when they started giving the booster shot. So, good news. If you've been questioning about getting a booster shot, then there's your answer. If you've been questioning whether you're eligible if you're 18 or older, and you're at least 6 months after your second dose of Pfizer or Moderna, or 2 months after your dose of J&J.
So just to be very clear, if you're 18 or older, you can go to a pharmacy, to your doctor's office, to anywhere that's offering booster doses and get a booster vaccination as of today.
Yes, it says in the health advisory, it says effective immediately. So now you may go to a pharmacy and they may not know about this yet. Jim and I just got this by email to the Health Alert Network, and not everybody checks their emails as diligently as Jim and I do. So you may have, and I know Jim does because we're often emailing with each other at odd times of the day and evening. So there's a little bit of chuckle from both of us. But anyway, you can let them know to check the Health Alert Network, and they'll get the news there. I'm sure Dr. Shaw, who I think has his press conference today at 2, I'm sure that will be a topic that he will discuss further. But that's good news. I know a lot of people, we've had a lot of questions, people asking, am I eligible or not? And, you know, and I've been hoping that the federal government, and I'm glad the state government, is taking this step to expand the options for everybody, pretty much.
Dr. Jarvis, I'll send this next picture to you. This is from AJ, an email. If Maine has a high positivity with 400,000 unvaccinated people, why didn't we have much higher positivity rates back last January when over 1 million people were unvaccinated? And I'm guessing, Dr. Jarvis, that the answer to AJ's question is the Delta variant. Is that true?
Yeah, that probably is the primary reason. And again, we were somewhat protected during what the rest of the country experienced as wave one, wave two, and wave three. We were somewhat protected being in Maine, and that's typical for us for respiratory viruses. But now at this stage of the game, we're no longer in that protected area. And so the spread is definitely out there more than what we were seeing before. We also did a very, very good job of, remember when we started talking about this, flattening the curve. And what that meant was we would rather have a low level of disease for a longer period of time rather than this gigantic spike that would overwhelm our healthcare system and no doubt would have cost lives. If you look at the mortality data for the state of Maine versus the rest of the country, our mortality is very, very low from COVID-19 compared to other areas which saw much steeper curves and then a sharp decline. So despite the fact that we seem to be a little bit longer and a little bit higher than where we had been before, I still think that we did the right thing here in Maine by putting in a masking mandate, closing our economy, and then slowly building it back up in safe measures, waiting for vaccines to come on board, and then, of course, vaccinating as many people as we could in such a short period of time. Those things probably saved lives in Maine, even if now we're experiencing longer tail from that summer surge that the rest of the country saw as we head into winter.
All right, we're going to go to the calls now. We're going to go to Ethan calling from Saco. Ethan, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have some comments that are, and believe me, I understand. I was there in the AIDS epidemic in the early 2000s. I understand what it can be like for you guys to be kind of in a bubble and not look to the outside and not see what, you know, the people are saying on the other side and complaining about. But Belgium hospitals, I heard, are 100%, they're vaccinated 100% in the hospitals. The PCR test is not accurate, as Carrie Mullis stated at the beginning of all this. How can you run a pandemic when the PCR test is not even accurate? Children are not at risk from this disease. Why are we vaccinating them with an mRNA vaccine, which is now showing that it may be hacking the cells and the immune system of these children, which their immune systems need
okay,
to
Ethan,
recognize.
We're going to try to limit callers to one or two points. Go ahead, Dr. Mills.
Yes. Well, actually, the PCR tests and the studies that I have read and been very aware of, and the FDA, is the PCR test is very accurate. And we vaccinate children for two reasons. One is because they do, especially now with the Delta variant, a year ago they weren't contracting the virus very much, but with the Delta variant, they are. The Delta variant is much more contagious and causes more severe disease as well. So our children are contracting the Delta variant in very high numbers, and unfortunately, some of them do get quite sick. And we've had, at Maine Medical Center, we've had somebody, a child hospitalized pretty much continuously for one child or another, going back, you know, a number of weeks or several months now. And the second reason is because they are major transmitters of this virus, as they are with influenza. So they are in the classroom all together. They're in groups playing soccer or birthday parties or whatever. And then they go home to grandparents and aunts and uncles and other gatherings, and they transmit it to a number of other people. So it's both to protect their own health as well as to protect others and their families and their communities.
A question here from Vicky. My husband is a salesman here in Maine. He travels throughout the state. Many of his clients are in rural areas of Maine where vaccination rates are very low. Masking is also done in low numbers at the businesses he visits. He is fully vaccinated and has a booster due to his work. We are wondering, should he come off the road for a while and work from home as he did earlier in the pandemic? How about after the holidays when, sadly, the rates could be even higher? So, Dr. Jarvis, if Vicky's husband were one of your patients, what would you advise him?
So, at first, everything is always a risk basis kind of thing. We need to look at the risk versus the benefit of what we do. If he's a patient that of mine who has serious health conditions, particularly cardiac conditions or pulmonary or lung conditions, I would probably advise if there's a way for him to avoid that travel, he should do so. But again, everybody, it's going to be an independent decision for them. Some of my staff who are not directly clinical, and therefore not taking care of patients, remain remote workers right now because they can effectively do their job remotely, and it keeps them from coming in and out of the medical center, and thus lowers the risk for both them and our patients for somebody who doesn't need to be in the medical center at all times. So it really kind of gets down to what's that risk versus benefit. Now, obviously, we have people that need to continue to go to work and be in person. Doctors, nurses, and other support staff at hospitals are one category that need to do that. Teachers and support staff in schools also need to be doing that. And certainly certain other aspects of our economy need to be out there and engaging with the public. That's why it's really important that everybody get vaccinated, even if you think that you're at low risk of contracting the disease or having severe disease or death from COVID-19, because you need to protect all those other people who need to be out there. And regardless, all of us still need to go out and get clothes, get food, get things like that to sustain ourselves. And so we're all going to be interacting as a grand community. And when that happens, when you have something that's so contagious as COVID-19, particularly with the Delta variant, the best thing we can do is look out not just for ourselves, but everybody else in our community, including our children and our grandparents and anybody with health conditions. When we get vaccinated, we protect those people as much as we protect ourselves.
All right, we're going to go up to Bangor and to Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
So I have infinite sympathy with the problems you're having in the hospitals. My question is probably annoying. We've been dealing with COVID for, 2 years now? You've got these children who would rather listen to some idiot on the Internet than people who know something. And I just don't know how you're going to reach these people without an absolute unquestioned mandate. And it's just getting very frustrating. My wife and I are discussing going somewhere today, and we decided not to because of our town office is now closed because the town manager is sick. It's just really frustrating, and I don't understand how it can keep going on like this and how they can go on and how the MPBM can keep saying the same thing, and people just aren't listening. How are you ever going to reach these people?
Sure. You know what? I'm going to have Dr. Mills, I'm going to have you respond to Larry's frustration after the break. We do need to go to a quick break. This is Maine Calling, and we are talking with medical experts about the pandemic. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from BCM Environmental and Land Law of Northern New England, helping landowners, farmers, and governments problem solve. BCMEnviroLaw.com. And by Rooster Brother, roasting coffee since 1987 in downtown Ellsworth. Learn more at roosterbrother.com.
You're listening to Maine Public Radio, where we're going to take a quick break from Maine Calling for our 60th anniversary pledge drive. Hello, my name is Luke Merkel. I'm an underwriting account representative here at Maine Public, and I'm joined today by Scott Marshallden, Vice President. And we're here to simply ask for your donation. You can do that by calling 1-800-866-1475. And that donation really helps make Maine Calling, you know, this appointment listening day in and day out. It makes it possible, whether it's really serious, important information around COVID, or whether it's less serious, but still very important information like the recent Made in Maine gift guide, you know, which you can actually go back and listen to at the Maine Calling website or as a podcast. So go check that out. And please make that donation now by calling 1-800-866-1475.
And you can go online at mainpublic.org. And we'd be thrilled to shortly get you right back to the Maine Calling. I've been listening intently. I'm excited to hear the answer to the question our caller placed. And that's what Maine Public brings to you each and every day. It's that dialogue, the civil discourse that our society needs in order to continue to learn and grow. You're a part of that when you make your call and your donation today. Again, this is our 60th anniversary membership drive. Give us a call, 1-800-866-1475, or go online at mainpublic.org. Once again, 1-800-866-1475, or online at mainpublic.org. And here's Maine Calling once again, and thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We are talking with Dr. James Jarvis and Dr. Dora Mills, two Maine healthcare leaders, Dora Mills with Maine Health and James Jarvis with Northern Light Health. And the phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or on Instagram. You all both heard Dr. Dora Mills and Dr. James Jarvis. You both heard Larry in Bangor expressing his frustration before we were going to a break. And I'm going to have both of you respond. Dr. Mills, I'm sure you're hearing this frustration and people wishing that we would have some sort of greater mandate amongst the population for vaccinations. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, I hear this every day. I mean, we've got people across the state who are working on, and our hospitals who are just really frustrating because they're taking care of people who are so ill, who are dying. They're getting younger, much younger than the patients we saw a year ago, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And we've had kids as well. We've had several kids that, hospitalized just in the last couple of weeks. So they're younger, they're much sicker, and they're primarily unvaccinated. And so it's just very discouraging for people to realize how overstretched our hospitals are and how other people can't get in to get their, you know, their knee replaced, and they can barely walk, but they're having a hard time getting their knee replaced because the COVID surge has just taken up so many hospital beds. So people are, you know, people at all ends are very discouraged and frustrated. But we've also seen this in other parts of the country as well as in other countries. Right now in Europe, a number of countries are surging there. And what they've seen is that they're able to successfully mandate vaccinations and indoor masking and vaccine passports and other measures in those countries where there's not a lot of polarization, like Denmark. But in other countries like Germany, there's a lot of political polarization as we've had here in the United States, and it's very hard for them to mandate things because there's just non-compliance. For instance, with indoor masking mandates, what I've read is that some of these countries, and in the Pacific Northwest here in the U.S., Oregon and Washington, they've implemented indoor mask mandates a couple months ago. But people who are against the vaccine are often against masking and just don't comply. And it's very hard for law enforcement to enforce it. So we're in a position of a very challenging position, a very challenging time. I do think the mandates for vaccination have worked well. As I said earlier, you know, we sadly lost 2% of our workforce due to it, but we are now just about 100% fully vaccinated, and it's making our workplace a lot easier. And I should also just mention, and we can talk about it later because I want to hear what Jim has to say too, is that, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, a lot of family gatherings are coming up. There are important steps for people to take to make sure that, you know, they're not spreading disease there, because vaccine is one, but also some masking and distancing, ventilation, and maybe even testing. We're not back to 2019, but we're also at Thanksgiving, but we're also not at 2020 either, you know, so we have more tools in the toolbox than we had just a year ago. But that is where a lot of people are getting contracting COVID, is from social gatherings, family gatherings and the like, not so much at, you know, shopping at Hannaford or something.
Sure. Jim.
Yeah. So, you know, I share Larry's frustration, but what I like to do is I try to look at what the positive things are. And so in Maine, we have one of the highest vaccination rates, particularly with our elder population. We are now 75-80% vaccinated there. So I look at the bright side. That means that, you know, most of our population sees that these are the benefits that we need to do in order to get back to some sense of normalcy. So kind of look at that goodness that people here have really done. Again, looking at our death rate here in the state of Maine and how low it was because of the fact that we came together as a community. Look at the fact that Dora and I are on Maine Calling together, talking to you when, maybe 2 years ago, everybody in the state would have said, hey, they're competitors of one another. We're not competitors. We work together. We work collaboratively. We work for the betterment of Maine. And so think about those positive things when you get really frustrated. And then, unfortunately, some of us are just going to have to avoid situations that we don't want to have to avoid because some people just aren't thinking that same way that the rest of us are.
We're going to go to the calls, try to squeeze in one or two more. We're going to go to Joan, who's calling from Belfast. Joan, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, I was calling because I have had I had the booster on Saturday, this past Saturday, and all I've done is wanted to sleep ever since, and I'm just really not getting better from this, and I'm really like to know what to do at this point.
Sure, and Dr. Jarvis, a lot of people knocked out by this booster shot. What's your advice for Joan?
Well, one, when we have those symptoms of feeling body aches, maybe even a little bit feverish or fatigue, that's really because your immune system is actually working, and it's really kind of somewhat of a reassurance to us. Now, if it's lingering beyond a day or so, you know, there may be something else going on, hard for us to tell from a telephone call. And so particularly if you have any other health concerns, I would at least reach out to your primary care provider and make sure that you're doing okay. We do know some people, after their booster shot, it is taking as long as 3 days for them to feel better. But certainly if you're having any issues where you're unable to keep fluids down or having any difficulty breathing or chest pain or anything like that, please reach out to your provider and seek the care that it sounds like you might need.
Sure. And it sounds like it. Joan says this was Saturday. Today is Wednesday. Definitely reach out to her primary care physician. We have a tweet
I think
here.
The best advice, but. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say most people still do fine with the booster shot, just like they did with the first two in the primary series.
Sure. A tweet here from Marfine. If folks follow guidelines and get vaccinated, how soon can we emerge from the pandemic versus if people continue as is? Are there projected timelines? Oh, boy, Dr. Mills, we have just a little bit of time left for a great big question. What do you want to say to that?
My crystal ball is covered in some mud, I think, I'm afraid. So, no, it is, you know, this is a novel virus. So we have to remember, we are not good at predicting influenza seasons. Every fall I get asked, what do you think the influenza season will be like? Influenza has been around for hundreds of years. We still can't predict the influenza season. This COVID virus is a new virus to us, so we are less able to predict it. What I can say is that the predictions from the models that I see showed that over the next 3 weeks, they go out about 3 weeks, and that's about as long as you can really predict this virus, it does show Maine having sustained, and much of the northern part of the country, showing sustained high rates over the next 3 weeks. So that's why I think it's important for Thanksgiving. You know, you can gather for Thanksgiving if people attending are at somewhat low risk and not real high risk and people are vaccinated. But, you know, you may want to just be careful and have some masking and distancing and ventilation as you're able to, because it just, you know, we have such high rates right now of disease in Maine. So it's gather together for Thanksgiving, not like you did in 2019, but not as bad as it was in 2020 either. So somewhere in between. But be careful, because it is predicted to be high transmission for the next several weeks anyway.
Heather asks, is the booster for 6 months after your first or your second shot? Dr. Jarvis, good question, because they're telling you to get a booster for 6 months after your first vaccination. Is that first vaccination shot or that second one that you got 2 or 3 weeks later?
It's your second one. So it's 6 months from the day that you received your second dose. And so some people, you know, were on schedule and got their second dose at either the 3 or 4 week mark, depending Pfizer or Moderna. Some people delayed. And if they delayed, then it's 6 months again, still from that second shot. So it's always the last shot that you got when we talk about the next shot that you get.
All right. And I want to ask you a follow-up Thanksgiving question to what Dr. Mills has been saying. And Dr. Shaw was talking about Thanksgiving as well. If someone is saying, you know what, everybody that's coming to my Thanksgiving dinner is vaccinated, and most of us have gotten boosters as well, are we all set, or do we still need to think about some other factors? Dr. Jarvis.
Well, yeah, one thing is if anybody is feeling ill, they should stay home. They should not be gathering together. So that's the best advice we can give. As far as whether or not, you know, you need to still be wearing masks or be concerned, it really, again, has to do with your own personal health history. So, again, if you have somebody in the family who is being treated for cancer or has an underlying condition that has them be immune compromised, hey, just be safe and wear masks while you're all together, even if you're all vaccinated. Because why take the chance when you can do one more thing that can help protect you and everybody else that you love?
Well, thank you both for being on. Oh, Dr. Mills, very quickly, please. Thanks.
I was going to say, I echo that. And then when you're eating dinner, just spread out a little bit. You know,
all
spread
right.
out because you can't mask, obviously, while you're eating. But yes.
Thank you all so much for spending time with us today, Dr. Dora Mills, Dr. James Jarvis, regulars now on Maine Calling. We hope to have you back for a different reason someday soon with Maine Health and Northern Light Health. Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn produce Maine Calling. John Keimel, our sound engineer today, and of course, KJ Akumiladun, often our sound engineer on Mondays as well. Thank you so much for joining us for Maine Calling today. And now back to our 60th anniversary pledge drive.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the UMaine Alumni Association's Alumni Impact Study, documenting the impact of Black Bear alumni on Maine's economy, umainealumni.com, and by Evergreen Home Performance, with careers in home energy efficiency renovation. Learn more at evergreenyourhome.com/careers.
And Maine Public Radio is brought to us by you, our listeners and our supporters. And today is our 60th anniversary membership drive. Hi, I'm Scott Marshallton, Vice President here with Luke Merkel, our underwriting account representative. And we are asking you to share your support today during our 60th anniversary membership pledge drive. Be generous. Call now, 1-800-866-1475. Because you rely on Maine Calling and all of the news that Maine Public News team tackles each and every day, including up-to-date information on COVID and all of those health concerns related to that, give us a call. It's your support. It's your investment in public radio. It's your investment in public broadcasting here in Maine that makes those things happen. Luke?
Yes, Scott. It's great to be here with you. And I understand that this is actually a very special hour. So if you've been meaning to make that call, 1-800-866-1475, this is actually the perfect time to do so, because MOFCA, a very important partner to Maine Public, is actually going to be offering 10 callers, which we'll pick at random from this hour, and a $50 gift card. So that's just a little extra incentive to call, because you might be one of those 10 who get that $50 gift card from MOFCA. So call now. The important thing is that you support this service by donating online or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Once again, 1-800-866-1475. As Luke mentioned, we have 10 $50 gift cards to an open store now in Freeport that MOFCA is putting together, that MOFCA has put together. No supply chain issues there. It's organic, right to you from Maine. And it's just a small way, another partnership here at Maine Public with other great nonprofits that are out there in Maine. Pre-holiday season. So again, give us a call, 1-800-866-1475. This is our 60th anniversary membership drive, and we are really looking forward to 60 more years at Maine Public and Maine Public content, and 60 more years of Maine Calling. You know, this dialogue, this conversation within Maine, about Maine, about the things that are going on here in this state, are so critically important. And it's you, our donors, that make those happen, make that happen. And again, 1-800-866-1475.
Yes, Scott, Maine Public is having its 60th birthday, but Maine Calling as a program just celebrated their 10th birthday. So they've been around for 10 years. And as a program, they've really grown. You know, at first it was 4 days a week. Now it's 5 days a week. We have more staff that's able to deliver better, more and more programs that are relevant to Mainers, that help connect us as Mainers. So, you know, if you listen to this every day and it's appointment listening for you, please show your gratitude by calling now and donating, 1-800-866-1475.
Once again, 1-800-866-1475. Online at mainepublic.org. Hit that green donate button. There are some thank you gifts there if you're interested. We have got a handsome pair of wool socks. And it is that time of year in Maine. We had some weather in northern Maine coming up in the next couple of days. And what a great way to show your Maine public pride, make a donation, and you know, maybe get a pair of socks. Luke, that it never goes wrong here in Maine to have some wool socks nearby, does it?
Never, never. And you're listening to listener-supported Maine Public Radio, WMEA Portland 90.1, WMEH Bangor 90.9, WMEW Waterville 91.3, WMED Callis 89.7, WMEM Presque Isle 106.1, WMEF Fort Kent 106.5, WMEP Camden 90.5, and also on the web at mainepublic.org.